السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كلامه المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ولمن صبر وغفر إن ذلك لمن عزم الأمور. وقال تعالى: ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وقال الله تبارك وتعالى في مقام آخر: ولمن صبر وغفر إن ذلك لمن عزم الأمور، أو كما قال تبارك وتعالى في كلامه المجيد. My dear respected brothers, elders, muhtaram bhaiyo, dosto, buzurgo, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala apne fazl o karam se Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ne hum sab ko musalman banaya hai. Aur musalman hone ka matlab ye hai ke hum Allah ta'ala ke samne sare khum taslim ho jate hain, اللہ تعالیٰ کے احکام کی اطاعت کرتے ہیں اور اللہ تعالیٰ کی نافرمانی سے بچتے ہیں. اور اطاعت کا مطلب یہ ہے کہ اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ جس چیز سے راضی ہو جائیں گے اس چیز کو ہم ہر وقت اس پہ عمل کریں، اور جس سے اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ ناراض ہوں گے اس سے ہم دور رہیں. تو اسی لیے جو ہے عربی لفظ فسق، فسق، فسق کا مطلب ہے دور ہونا. تو فسق اسلام میں اس چیز کو کہا جاتا ہے کہ جب انسان اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ کی رضامندی سے دور ہو جاتا ہے، اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ کی احکامات سے دور ہو جاتا ہے، تو اس کو فسق کہا جاتا ہے. تو اس شخص کو فاسق کہا جاتا ہے، مطلب اللہ تعالیٰ نے کسی چیز پر عمل کرنے کے لیے ہمیں ترغیب دی ہے، اللہ تعالیٰ نے ہمیں حکم دی ہے، لیکن ہم اس چیز سے دور رہتے ہیں، اس کو فسق کہا جاتا ہے. تو اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ نے ہمیں یہ بات فرمایا، ارشاد فرمایا قرآن مجید کے اندر، کہ اگر ہم اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ کی احکامات کو فالو کرتے ہیں، اس پر عمل کرتے ہیں، اور اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ کی نافرمانی سے ہم بچتے ہیں، تو اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ ضرور بے ضرور ہماری مدد کریں گے، اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ ضرور بے ضرور ہمارے ساتھ ہوں گے، ہمارے مشکلات کو حل فرمائیں گے. تو انسان کو جو ہے اپنے بس کے مطابق عمل کرنا چاہیے، ہم اپنے بس کے مطابق عمل کریں. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ، قرآن مجید کے اندر ارشاد باری ہے کہ اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ سے اتنا تقوی اختیار کیا کرو جتنا تمہارے بس میں ہو. فیا اللہ تعالیٰ as much as you are able. No one can do more than they are capable of doing. No one can do more than they are capable of doing. So in all situations we should not feel that we are, Allah تعالیٰ is imposing upon us, Allah تعالیٰ is making it mandatory for us to do more than we are capable to do. For example, the situation that we have now in Gaza, in Palestine. Now, every single Muslim, their mind and their thoughts should be attached to this situation. At all times, recently someone produced this initiative of bringing Gaza into your daily lives. On a daily basis, a way to remember the people of Gaza, the torture that they are going through, the brutality that they are facing, the genocide that they are facing. And the, you know, daily actions, that you wake up in the morning and you think, you know what, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala gave me a roof over my head. There are many people who don't have a roof over their head. I look at my children and I think, you know, alhamdulillah, my children are alive and healthy. There are many parents who are holding the lifeless corpses of their children. And you know, things like this. So every time what that will encourage us to do is whatever is in our capability. We can't do more than what is in our capability. And a Muslim is someone who always has good opinion of other Muslims. And a munafiq is someone who always has bad opinion of other Muslims. So in the Quran, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the munafiqun, the hypocrites, He always mentions this pessimistic quality inside of them, and this, what is it, critical quality inside of them, that they are always criticizing the Muslims. Anything that they do. What is Allah going to do with your dates? وَالَّذِينَ يَلْمِزُونَ الْمُطَّوِّعِينَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ إِلَّا جُهْدَهُمْ فَيَسْخَرُونَ مِنْهُمْ سَخِرَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Allah Ta'ala talking about one of the key components, one of the main qualities that the hypocrites used to embody. What does Allah Ta'ala say in Surah Tawbah? وَالَّذِينَ يَلْمِزُونَ الْمُطَّوِّعِينَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. That these munafiqun, these hypocrites, they mock the believers when they are giving charity and spending in the path of Allah Ta'ala. And they're saying, what is Allah Ta'ala going to do with this charity of yours? This one penny, two penny, these one or two dates. What's Allah going to do with these one or two dates? Always critical. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ إِلَّا جُهْدَهُمْ. Some Sahaba would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, Ya Rasulullah, we have nothing at home to give, but we offer ourselves. If you want us to do any errands, if you want us to do, basically use our physical energy, we will use our physical energy. We have nothing of financial gain to offer. So they would mock them. Say, what is Allah Ta'ala going to do with you? You can't contribute in any way, shape or form. What is Allah Ta'ala? فَيَسْخَرُونَ مِنْهُمْ. They mock the believers. سَخِرَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمْ. Allah Ta'ala mocks them. Meaning, that this mocking of theirs will result in a great calamity and adab on their part. Now whenever these terms are used in the Quran, سَخِرَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمْ, another term, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرُ اللَّهُ, they plot against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. وَمَكَرُ اللَّهُ, Allah ta'ala plots against them. Allah ta'ala doesn't need to plot or plan. It means that this plotting of theirs is going to lead them to ruination. This plotting of theirs is going to lead them to Allah's adab. So here, سَخِرَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمْ, Allah ta'ala mocks them, meaning Allah ta'ala's adab will befall them. And then what does Allah ta'ala say? استغفر لهم أو لا تستغفر لهم. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seek forgiveness on their behalf or do not seek forgiveness on their behalf. إن تستغفر لهم سبعين مرة فلن يغفر الله لهم. Even if you seek forgiveness for them 70 times, Allah ta'ala will never forgive them. The point is, this is one of the qualities of the hypocrites, that we look at the good that someone is doing and we look at whatever someone doing, whatever they are able to do, and we say, oh, that's not good enough, you should be doing more. What more do you want me to do? What more are you doing that you can practically demonstrate to me that this is what should be done? Are you understanding the point here? That the situation that's happening in Gaza is out of our physical hands. We're not in a situation to physically go. It's the governments and the Muslim leaders, their job is to physically intervene. As normal Muslims living in a non-Muslim country, we can make dua, we can give sadaqah, we can boycott, we can raise our voices, we can do these things. Now if someone says it's not good enough, you should be doing more. What do you want me to do? What is it Islamically in my capability that I should be doing? If you can present it to me with the evidence that this is what Allah Ta'ala is requiring for you to do at this moment in time, and I will go first and you follow suit because I am the one demanding you to do more, then we'll follow. But there is nothing. It is Shaitan's way of creating this rift and this division and this creating suspicion and bad thoughts, harboring bad thoughts against others who are actually doing something. Even dua, in the battle of, one of the shuyukh was mentioning, in the battle of Tabuk, some sahaba came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, we have no possessions, we have no wealth, we have nothing to take with us to prepare to go in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, look, everything I had has been given to those who are going out in the path of Allah. I've got nothing to offer you. Basically, you won't be able to join us.
So these Sahaba, they turned around and they were crying. And they were crying. And there are seven of these Sahaba in the books of Sirah, it mentions, Al-Bakka'una Sab'ah, the seven criers. Meaning they came in the battle of Tabuk and they wanted to go out, but they didn't have any provisions for journey. So they were asking Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, if anyone's donated anything extra, we will use that, those camels or those horses or those equipment, and we will go with you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I've got nothing left. It's all been given to the soldiers who are going out. So these Sahaba turned around and they were filled with sadness that we wish we could have done something, but we can't do anything. If we don't have provisions to go out, how are we going to go out? And they were crying. And Allah Ta'ala mentions they're crying in the Quran. The point is that they were in a situation where all they could do was cry and make dua. Ya Allah, we wanted to go out, but we can't go. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved this action so much that a person can only do whatever is in their capability of doing. So it's very important in these difficult times, and when we are looking on a daily basis from Ramadan, before Ramadan, last year, the year before, and in Ramadan especially when the brutality increased, and on a daily basis, whoever's following, I know I am, and I know majority of us probably are, on a daily basis we're seeing these pictures and these images and this chaos and this devastation, and the people of Gaza crying out, where are you Muslims? Where are you? No one is supporting us. We are alone. We're being butchered. We're being bombed. We're being killed. Whereas we are in our comfortable, alhamdulillah, blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So it's very difficult. Sometimes we can say, why is this person doing something? Why is that person not doing something? We need to understand these thoughts are from shaitan. The governments, the rulers, and those who are in a physical position, actual position to do something, they should be. And we, in our limited capacity, whatever we can do, we should be doing. But we should not be wasting our time looking at other people and saying, you know what, this person is like this, that person is not doing good enough. That's what, you know, one thing I've noticed in all of this is that people are looking at the ulama, scholars, whose job it is to impart religious advice to people and to tell people what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from them. Saying, oh, you should be doing more. You should be doing more. These scholars are not doing anything for us. We are alone. What do you expect the Bichara scholar to do? What is there that the Bichara scholar should be doing? We need to, you know, state this from the Quran, from the Sunnah. What is it that is required from this person in this weak position, at this situation to do? Alhamdulillah, looking here in this country, we see people are boycotting, we see people raising their voice, we see people attending marches. We go to the Haramain Sharifain, Makkah, Medina, Munawwara, and we see nobody's boycotting over there. We see over there such carelessness, and you think, you know what, the Muslims of here, living in a non-Muslim country, they are actually taking this issue much more seriously and giving it much importance than those who are living in the holy lands. Every shop is selling Coca-Cola, every shop is selling Pepsi, every shop is, there is no such thing as BDS and boycotting campaign. Starbucks is the busiest restaurant on the vicinity, just on the outskirts, possibly in the Hudud al-Haram, right next to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's house. So alhamdulillah, the Muslims here are doing something. Of course we need to increase our du'as. And of course we need to, you know, focus our boycotting, and we need to be very, very, target our boycotting, and target our charity, and target our du'a, and increase in this. That's there. And nobody's denying that fact. But to become so hypercritical of each and every single person, each and everyone doing anything, oh, what benefit is your du'a going to make? How can a Muslim say a statement like this? What benefit is your du'a going to make? One person's dua, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted, the whole situation could change. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the basis of one person's dua, wanted to change everything, could change everything. And if 100 people are doing dua, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decision was not for the situation to change, then it would stay the same. Allah ta'ala's decision is what reigns supreme. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most powerful. So we have invested all of our thoughts, and all of our, you know, we are thinking to ourselves that it has to be physical means, it has to be physical means, it has to be physical means. But this is also a symptom of the illness which lies in our hearts, which is thinking that physical means are the reality, zahiri asbab are the reality. Not understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divine power is what a believer has yaqeen upon. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have yaqeen upon? What did Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam have yaqeen upon? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh Ibrahim, give adhan, and people will come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's house in the middle of the desert. Ibrahim said, Allah ta'ala will make it happen. In the middle of the desert, he gave adhan, he called out, and from all over the world people came for hajj.
So physical means, how is that voice going to go to everyone in all the different parts of the world? Every story of every Nabi is filled with this conviction they had on the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But nowadays all of our thought process is invested into physical means. And this is against the spirit of Islam. That Islamically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most powerful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change the state of a situation in 1 second, in the blink of an eye. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَشَأْ يُذْهِبُكُمْ وَيَأْتِ بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٌ مَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. So many times in the Qur'an, Allah ta'ala mentions His power. If I wanted to, in one swell motion, I could replace all of you human beings and bring a new creation. In 1 second. And this is not difficult for Allah ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala's power. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَّاتٌ بِيَمِينِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. Again and again in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions His power. So our du'as, our tahajjud salah, our dhikr of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, constantly crying in front of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, begging from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, Ya Allah, the situation. Because this is not the first calamity to befall the Muslims. There were many calamities and tragedies that have befallen the Muslims in the past. And this is just tests and tribulations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon different groups of people. It's a test for us, it's a test for them. There are different forms of tests. Like in the hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions about the three people that were tested. Al-Abras wal-Aqra' wal-A'ma. The person who had leprosy and the person who was bald, born bald, and the person who was blind. One test was the test of the difficulty that they were going through, and one test was the test of cure and shifa. Multiple layers of tests. Who is being tested in which way, shape or form? We don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. What is expected from us in each situation is to do what Allah wants me to do. Not to waste my time being an armchair critic, criticizing him and her and them and they. How much of that time I could have productively used in making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How much of that time I could productively use in giving sadaqah, in giving charity, crying in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's very important we talk about it. This armchair criticism is not a quality of the believers, it's a quality of the hypocrites. It's a quality of the munafiqun. Everything, just criticize. Why is Muhammad doing this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why are the Muslims doing this? Why is this person donating this money? What's Allah going to do with this money? Oh, this person's got nothing. Just sitting there criticizing each and every single thing is the quality of the munafiqun. And the munafiqun are not just hypocrite as in some light thing. They were kuffar, they were disbelievers. People that Allah Ta'ala is saying to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul died, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of compassion for his son, Abdullah bin Abdullah, who was a sahabi. And his son said, Ya Rasulullah, I know my father wasn't a very good man. But please, Ya Rasulullah, he's still my father. If you make dua for him and you read his salatul janazah, I have hope that Allah Ta'ala may forgive him. Because you are Allah's Rasul, you are Allah's Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt compassion for him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave his blessed upper garment to him to put in his qabr as well. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to lead the janazah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu came in the way. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu came in the way. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, do you not remember on this day this happened? And on this day he did this, and on this day he did this. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just listened. And then he smiled, he said, Oh Umar, Allah ta'ala has given me a choice. And you can seek forgiveness for them, or you cannot seek forgiveness for them. So I'm going to seek forgiveness on their behalf. I'm going to seek forgiveness on his behalf. And this was the compassion and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, the ayat of the Quran, وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا وَلَا تَقُمْ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِهِ. Allah Ta'ala, the first ayah was, استغفر لهم أو لا تستغفر لهم. إن تستغفر لهم سبعين مرة فلن يغفر الله لهم. O Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seek forgiveness on their behalf, or do not seek forgiveness on their behalf. If you seek forgiveness on their behalf 70 times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive them. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, look, Allah Ta'ala still give me a choice. I can ask Allah to forgive him, or I can leave it. I'm going to adopt the position that I'm going to ask Allah to forgive him. But after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led this janazah salah, Allah Ta'ala revealed the verse in the Quran, وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا وَلَا تَقُمْ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِ إِنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَاتُوهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. Then never ever lead any of these munafiqun in janazah salah ever again. Don't even stand near their grave.
Don't even show in any way, shape or form that you are seeking forgiveness on their behalf. Why? Because they died as kuffar, as disbelievers. So the point is, munafiq, it's a very serious thing. So in the hadith when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us the signs of munafiq, avoid them. Not because munafiq is just a hypocrite. Say, oh, nowadays so many Muslims, they don't practice upon their deen properly. But this nifaq, i'tiqadi, where a person doesn't actually even believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he's faking it. This was the quality of these people, always criticizing. Always criticizing. So we need to change our outlook. We need to change our perspective. We need to change our attitude. As Muslims, we're positive people. We have full hope in Allah Ta'ala. When you have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no need to be negative. There is no need to be pessimistic. We have hope in Allah. Allah's promise will be fulfilled. Allah Ta'ala's help will come. I have to do whatever I can do in my capacity. I don't need to look here and there who's doing this and that and the other. Especially if I'm not in a position to do so. I'm not in a position to criticize certain people. Who am I and who are they? And what do I know about the reality of situations? So it's very, very important. I'm not saying people don't have faults. People have faults. But is it going to benefit me in any way, shape or form if I sit there criticizing this person and that person and the other person? Yeah. One of the scholars was mentioning, I thought it's a very valid point that a Muslim's attitude should not be like this. All it does is creates more disunity in our hearts, and all it creates is this anger and this resentment at people, and sometimes it's misplaced. It's misplaced. And the sad thing is now, many fingers are now being pointed at ulama. These ulama don't do anything. I'm reiterating the message. What is the job of the alim? The job of a alim is to be a bridge between Allah Ta'ala and His servants. To tell them what Allah Ta'ala expects from them, and to tell them to stay away from the things Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has told them to stay away from. That's the basic, in a basic nutshell, the job of an alim. So on top of that, the alim has to be doing more. The scholars are not doing anything. The scholars have all left us. The scholars have abandoned us. So what is this rhetoric? What is this rhetoric? What are we hoping to achieve from this rhetoric? So it's very scary when I think about how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, يُرْفَعُ الْعِلْمُ بِرَفْعِ الْعُلَمَةِ بِقَبْضِ الْعُلَمَةِ. That Allah Ta'ala will lift knowledge by the ulama being lifted. How will the ulama be lifted? They won't magically disappear. People will become bad zan of them. People will become distanced from them, and they will say, I don't need to make my son a alim, I don't need to make them a hafiz, I don't need to make anything, because these ulama are not good people anyway. So naturally, and we can see this happening. And now AI, subhanAllah, ChatGPT. Because if I got ChatGPT, why do I need to go to an alim? How is ChatGPT going to replace an alim? How many mistakes ChatGPT, I think it was the Muslim Council of Britain that put up a khutbah that an imam had delivered where he had just ChatGPT'd, and the ChatGPT was inventing and making up Quranic verses. A verse which is not even in the Quran, ChatGPT had made that up, and this someone was reading it because he thought, oh, ChatGPT can make a khutbah for me. So you have to be very, very careful. Our deen, this tradition, is very sacred. We can't make it into a joke that all these AI and artificial things can replace. This is not the first artificial intelligence, so this is not the first system for people to think that, oh, you know, this is the first time we feel that we don't need ulama anymore. So many things previously, all these videos and YouTube and Instagram and TikTok, and then you had Maktabatu Shamila, and you had all these things. But people think, oh, why do I need ulama? I can get everything on my little screen. But the scholars have highlighted the mistakes that are found in these things. Even a simple mistake can be a dangerous one that can take you out of the fold of Islam. Why would we risk all of that? Okay. ChatGPT, okay, it's got certain benefits, it can probably highlight certain things, but it's just a robot. It doesn't know what it's doing, what it's saying, what context of what. Okay. And the mistakes that it's made, blunders, hadith, inventing hadith where there are no hadith. Quran, inventing Quran where there are no Quran. It's very, very dangerous. So anyway, all of these type of things. So we can see this warning of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the point I'm trying to make is, we don't need to become distant from the ulama, and we don't need to become so negative, pessimistic. Do what we can in our capability, appreciate the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and continue to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects from us, inshallah. Allah ta'ala gives us all tawfiq. Oh.